I was going to teach this message this morning about from this commercial that I like to use. You know, that commercial where the guy, the insurance guy says, I've seen a few things, so I know a few things.
Farmers.
Farmers? Yes. Right. Some of that stuff he sees, I don't know if it's the truth, though. You know, but nevertheless, I understand. But the Lord was dealing with me this morning. He says, what did you do the whole time you were gone? I said, pray. I said, okay. So open up your Bibles. We won't be very long. Oh, Sam, you didn't have to sneeze because I said that. It's really good to have Brother Larry in church this morning. Amen. Yeah. Look at Bobby back there sweating. You know, he had a heart attack. Massive, wasn't it? Yep, massive heart attack. You know, and he's a strong brother because he fought. You know, doctors don't give you a good report. They give you a scientific report. So you really have to trust God. Amen. So it's good to have him here. Amen. So prayer. When you talk about prayer, we come to the conclusion that we spend most of our times praying for ourselves, which is not what we're supposed to be doing. If you have a problem, pray for somebody who has the same problem. In the process of doing that, then God will deliver you. But if you spend most of your time praying for yourself, amen. What you going to do? What you going to do when your pastor comes in and sends you out in the auditorium and there's a lady out there rolling around on her stomach like a snake? What you going to do? You know what? You can go back in the office to tell him that, Pastor, I'm not doing that. And he says, I'll see you when I get back. And he goes to the golf course. And you out there with this young lady, even her family sitting way in the back. When I saw the family sitting in the back, I said, oh my goodness. So, you have to really already be prayed up. Amen. Amen. You don't have time to get it done at that moment. Your faith has to arise to a standard where you know that God's going to move for you. So, you know, we were taught that we would pray that prayer in the history. You know, what we teach our kids, lay me down to sleep. And, you know, that's good. But we're still praying prayers that don't mean anything. They're not touching God because we're not praying correctly. But the good thing about it is in the book of Ephesians, Paul teaches us how we should pray by telling you, showing you what he did. Ephesians, the first chapter. I know y'all waiting on the chapter. 1 and 15. Ephesians. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, or faith which is translated in the Greek, conviction in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. It's important that we understand that when Paul got this word, folks don't understand this, but if you did some research, you find out that the people that Paul is talking about, when he got this message, he wasn't in Ephesus. Amen. And there was no man telling him about their conviction. But because he was already praying for them, God was able to send him a word or a message concerning their conviction for God. That's why it's so important. He says, and your conviction in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Well, a lot of times you can think folks love you, but they don't. We just got this thing about telling people everybody we love them. We need to stop lying. Just say it's good to see you. It's wonderful to see you. But those are the people that God wants you to pray for the most. He wants you to bombard heaven for these folks. I've been praying for folks and wondering how they were doing, and I could hear the Spirit of God talking to me about that person. And then God would confirm that word because they would call or they would show up in church.
Amen. Amen.
God's always going to confirm your prayers. He said, in spite of everything that I'm dealing with, I'm still going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. He said, I cease not. I cease not. That means that he's not going to turn it off. He's not going to turn away from praying for folks in spite of those that despitefully used him or what he's dealing with. And you have to understand something. When you read these books, Paul was probably one of the most persecuted disciples. He wasn't just persecuted by the Romans or by Gentile. He was persecuted by other apostles. But he said, I will not cease.
Amen.
I will not, never, not pray for you. Keep you in my prayers.
Uh-huh.
Meaning that I'm going to forget about me, but I'm going to pray for you. If we get to a point in our lives where we spend most of our time praying for other people, I found out, El Torres, that if I get to pray for folks, I can actually hear folks' name called out in my spirit. That need to be prayed for.
Uh-huh.
That need to be ministered to. Some of these folks might be in Alabama, or you never know where they are, Georgia. But God will speak their name to you or speak in your spirit so that you can pray. I used to find myself getting down to pray for one or two people, end up praying for an hour for just names that I would hear in my spirit.
Amen.
Do you know that's when God really blesses you?
Amen.
And strengthens you and encourages you, because what you send, you get back.
That's right. That's
just like whatsoever seeds you sow, you're going to reap it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you sow seeds of prayer for other folks, somebody's going to be praying for you.
Come on now.
Yeah. And I depend on that.
Amen.
So Paul said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, talking about you, recollection and remembering you because of what the Spirit has showed me. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who? In the knowledge of Him. When you pray, when you find yourself praying for other folks, for other saints, for other people, for folks that hate, for folks that are jealous, for folks that are envious. When you find yourself praying for these folks, that's when you find out that in the midst of it, God will bless you with wisdom and with revelation. The wisdom is the ability to use the word of God to an effectiveness so that others can be blessed in spite of what you're going through.
Amen.
Revelations means something that is manifested.
Uh-huh.
See, when you pray in faith, believing and trusting in God,
yeah.
You can be guaranteed that God is going to do a work for you.
Amen.
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 Yeah. That's how He works. We think that when we talk about the seed sown, we always think about finance. It's always got to do. No. Paul was saying, I won't cease to make mention of you because I understand already what I'm dealing with, what I'm going through. And if you're going through the same thing, as God delivers you, He'll deliver me.
Amen.
And in the end, He might not deliver me, but He'll give me the strength to get through whatever I'm going through because I'm praying and interceding for you.
Amen.
Because you have to understand something. Hebrew tells us that Jesus is our intercessor.
Yeah.
When you talk to Jesus in prayer, think about it. When you talk to Jesus in prayer, what does He do? He gives you unlimited power and authority and dominion over your issues, over your troubles, over your trials, so that even though you're in the midst of whatever you're dealing with, it doesn't break you down to a point that you can't worship and serve God.
Amen.
It gives you the ability to keep your mind in peace in spite of everything.
Yes, Lord.
We have gotten so caught up on wanting people to pray for us and lay hands on us. Just incredible. We were joking a couple weeks ago. You know, Brother Andy makes CDs. He does these CDs, and he does a wonderful job on these CDs. Amen. And so we were discussing the fact that why folks don't get the CDs to re-listen to a message that they know they didn't listen to the first time because they were tired or they were weary. Well, it hit me. When we were selling those, when Brother Hassard was giving those CDs out over there, and folks were buying them up by the droves, guess what was on them? Prophecy. Folks would buy 20 tapes to get one. Why? Because they weren't praying for somebody else. To have faith to understand that whatever it is you're doing, God's going to give it back to you.
Amen.
You know, folks that got mad with Pastor High, with me, and with God and everybody else because something they were told didn't come true. But what they don't realize is because it's up on what you do for God.
Amen.
You can't act like a heathen and hate on folks and gossip and then expect the prophecy to come true in your life.
Amen.
Oh well. Wow. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I like the part where it says the knowledge of him. Most folks don't know who Jesus is because they haven't interceded for somebody else to touch him. Get quiet in here. Oh, Lord have mercy. I used to pray for knowledge. Lord, teach me. Give me knowledge. Give me understanding. All the time. And God said, if you stop being so selfish and start praying for other folks to have the knowledge that you're seeking, maybe you might get it. So I start praying, Lord, bless the church with knowledge and understanding, with the power of revelation so that they'll understand who you are and what it is that we are to become and that we're supposed to become a corporate body, minding and saying the same principles. Lord, and teach them. Then all of a sudden the Bible began to open up to me. See, it's important that you create an atmosphere in your life and in your arena that will cause other folks to be blessed because you're standing on the authority and dominion of God. Paul was saying, now we know, the Bible tells us in Acts that Paul was in his lodging. He was locked up, couldn't go nowhere. You know, more folks got saved while he was locked up than they did when he was out walking the streets. That's how many people were running to visit him. And they say if it were possible, even some of the very elect might have given their hearts to God. When it's talking about the elect, they're talking about the Roman priests, the Sadducees, or the Pharisees. Paul said, but what I pray for is that the eyes of your understanding or your mind, the vision of your mind, because we know that you, when you look through the eyes, you can see down into the soul. You can look at most folks' eyes and know you don't feel like bothering with them today. Or you look at most folks' eyes, you look down into their soul, and you say to yourself, I better make a left here.
Amen.
You know, all you got to do is look into somebody's eyes. Just go tell on them. Well, God said if you see spiritually, that your vision, I'm praying spiritually, that your spiritual eyes will awaken.
Yes, Lord.
That you can actually see and understand what God is, not just to you, but to everybody that you're praying for.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Whenever I used to call Brother Little John, he'd always be concerned about me. Never once did he think about himself. They're trying to make me stay on the platform. Oh, just on this side, in front of you. Amen. That the eyes of your understanding, or your mind, being enlightened. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. being enlightened. When it talks about being enlightened, now we're talking about the knowledge of the riches of His glory. That you might understand what the riches of Christ is in your life. To brighten up and to make to see. When we were talking about understanding, we're talking about deep thought. That's why it's so important that when you meditate, that you pray.
Amen.
They go hand in hand. Being enlightened, that ye may what? That ye may know, or with spiritual perception. Amen. What is the hope or the expectation of His calling?
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, Lord.
How many folks know why they've been called? How many folks understand that God created Adam in the beginning to praise and to worship Him? That ain't never changed. I don't care what happened in the garden. That ain't never changed. He could never steal that from us, because that's why God put a measure of faith in us. I like to use a measure of faith as God uses as a homing, a beacon, so that at the specific time or your season, He can bring you to Him. Because usually at the time you come to God, you're praying. Because you done had enough of what it is you're dealing with. You know, I done heard my, Lord, I can't do this no more. I'm tired. I'm wore out. You got to do something. God said, you do something.
Yes, Lord.
I said, what is it you want me to do? Having done all to stand, would you keep standing? That means stop complaining and murmuring about what you're dealing with. Just pray. Somebody out there is going through the same thing you're going through. Pray. Trust God for them.
Come on, Pastor. Man.
Most of the times I've got delivered from some or healed. Yeah, delivered or healed.
Amen.
God reminded me of somebody that was going through the same thing. Amen. So it's important that we understand the hope of His calling. And His calling for us is for us to worship Him. You haven't been called to be an evangelist. Or a prophet, or a pastor, or a teacher, or an apostle, whatever you want to call yourself, you've been called to give God praise and worship. And the highest form of praise is not in you lifting your hands or singing your song, but your highest point of praise is when you pray. But now you're talking to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And He's talking to the Father.
Come on now.
He done linked you up with the Father. Now all three of you linked up.
Yeah,
the Father sending the Word through the Son to you.
Come on,
you
now.
Find it coming forth in your spirit, because the Anointed One is living in you.
Break it down, Pastor. Amen. Amen.
Can you imagine what's going to happen when we all come together and realize that we're a corporate body of believers and God has called us all for the same reason? And we start taking down our denominational chains, names off our buildings. And realize that we're one body.
Amen.
Baptized into one spirit.
Come on now.
Because we pray.
Amen.
You know what, Paul? They should have put some of Paul's stuff in red. Amen. You know why? Because he stood on the word of Jesus. How many realize that Jesus never met Paul until after his resurrection?
Come on now.
You wonder why? Because he needed some power to deliver Paul.
Hallelujah.
He had power to raise the dead and do all that stuff before he was resurrected. But after he was resurrected, he had power to deliver anybody. He never touched Paul once. He asked Paul, why are you persecuting my people?
Jesus.
And before Paul realized, he already knew it was Jesus. He said, Lord.
Amen, amen. Amen, amen.
But see, Paul was praying for people, but he was praying to find out where they were. on to be blessed. He was praying to find out where they were located. And then he would go to the high priest and say, you know what? There's a bunch of them so-called Christians bunched up together over here in Macedonia. You let me go. And he'd go get them.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how long he had to travel or what he had to go through. But you know what? That same power, strength was in him when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus.
Yes.
So now he praying for your understanding, for your knowledge, and for your wisdom, which is what we're supposed to be doing. Praying for the other saints that God give them knowledge and understanding of what their calling truly is in him. The riches of the glory. Amen. When it talks about glory, you know, we want to think about power and raising the dead. But when it talks about glory, it's talking about praise and worship. Because that's who we are. We're supposed to be praise and worshipers. Amen. Of his inheritance. Well, we know we have an inheritance. What is our inheritance? We're a peculiar people. We have this hidden treasure in us. But God ready for this hidden treasure to be revealed.
Amen.
Well, you can't, it won't be revealed as long as you complaining and murmuring about what you're dealing with. In the saints, and when it talks about saints, it's talking about this holy. Wow. Holy. Sacred, but right. Well, we're working on it.
Amen.
Everybody's
Amen.
Working on it. Amen. You know, here we go about his riches. Listen to this. The wellness as fullness. It talks about money, possession, abundance, richness. All these things come into your life because you're standing in the gap for somebody. And then it says, and what is the exceeding greatness? The exceeding greatness of his power. It's his love. It's the efficiency of his love. The exceeding, the effectiveness and the glory of God, the praise and the worship. You know, God praises and worships too. Every time one of us gives our heart and lives to God, he says, thank you.
Glory.
Welcome home.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
God is so awesome.
Yes, he is.
And he's so forgiving.
Yes, he is.
He's the only one that's going to forgive you for everything. If God searched way down in our hearts and our spirits, he'll find some stuff down there where we still ain't forgave folks.
Right.
We just got it here so good, we done forgot it's there. But you get to praying for folks. You'll be amazed at what comes up out of your spirit.
Amen.
Mm. You know, I read the word when I was going through stuff, but when I started asking God to bless the folks that were persecuting me, bless the folks that were messing, doing things, that's when God started doing the work. Not until then. As long as I was doing the pastor's heart, Lord, kill him. He'd say it in a heartbeat. And I said to myself, he ain't supposed to be saying that, is he? That's all right. But then they come to church and he pray for them and forget about it. Ooh. Just like the young ladies, they said, Danny says, well, if you won't tell us, we'll be prepared. Yasha came up under Pastor Hart. I learned to be prepared all the time. Because he stopped in the middle of a message. Brother Dennis. And I used to say, come on, man, I ain't practiced nothing. But then I learned that when he turned, anytime he go, Sister Melba, and she'll look at, but then as you go, you just got to be prepared. That's what prayer does in your life. You're prepared for any storm that comes your way. And we've had some storms. The greatness of his power to us who believe, to all of us that believe, have confidence, trust. Not so much in the Christ, but the Christ that's in us, who is our hope, our expectation of praise and worship in our lives. You'd be amazed at what you can get through when you praise and worship. Meditate on the things of God. According to the working, the efficiency of his what? Of his mighty. It means forceful. That means that God will force things out of your way. Powers means vigor. That means you got to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Prayer is more than a word. It's a man.
Break it down.
It's Jesus. You know, Jesus prayed that prayer when he was in the garden.
Come on now.
Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. And then it dawned on him. That ain't right.
Yeah, because he changed it.
He changed it. He didn't contemplate changing it. He changed it in the same sentence.
Amen. Amen.
Because he had already been praying for everybody. So in the same sense that, but nevertheless, since I'm not doing this for me,
right.
I'm doing this because you sent me here to save your people and to show them that they can walk in this life as new believers. Let's get on with it.
Thank you, Jesus.
It went right after that. Boom. Peter cut off the centurion's ear. What Jesus do? Pick it up and put it back on.
Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Guess what that is? Love. I know you came to kill me, but because I worship my Father and I praise my Father by doing his will and his desire, I'm gonna give you this miracle. And it messed the centurion's head up. Don't you know when you stand in prayer for folks, it'll mess their heads up. Because the anointing that'll be manifested from your life in your prayer life will touch their lives. There's times I can see certain people standing in the gap and praying for me. Just like you know when people talking about you. My mother used to always say, what was that, something about her ear or something? She'd say, somebody talking about me. I said, you ain't heard nothing, Ma. How you know they talking about you? Because my ear ringing. Y'all act like y'all ain't never heard that. Y'all
yes, I have.
I know. I heard all kinds of stuff come from my mother. Some of it I'm still trying to get delivered of. Y'all, I'm serious. That's my wife. Come around me sweeping. I'm being honest with you. You know, folks say, you a pastor, you ain't... Baby, come around me sweeping. I heard it for so many years. I was trained. Same way we've been trained to think that the devil had power over us. We had a discussion with my father-in-law in their cabin. I think he was just testing me. And I said, Dad, let me ask you a question. You know, First Lady, she jumped right in. I said, if Jesus went to hell and took keys to death, hell, and the grave, what he got? What he got over you? Except your thoughts, your ideas, your principles. That's why it's important that we do what?